Back at the beginning of the show, we met Mike Lewis. He's the bar proprietor who physically moved most of the Streamline Tavern, including the urinals, to its new location. Well, Mike's relationship with bars goes back a long time. As he explained from a corner table at the Streamline, bars are a big way that he got to know his father.
He was really a bright guy without a lot of formal education. And he ended up working, he had a car lot in town, and then worked, he and his brother opened up a fruit stand for a while. But he was also a guy, and I think this is where my love for bars started, who loved bars. And I think he loved the community in them. And he spent, you know, I think sometimes maybe too much time there. Although I never felt like he wasn't around, he definitely was a guy who had a second family, if you will, in the bar. And the bar he hung out in is a place called The Ranch.
Would you say he had a drinking problem?
He drank. Drinking problem? I think that there was a couple of periods where he probably drank too much, although it didn't seem to manifest itself. I do remember him one time getting, the one time he hit me as a kid, I was maybe 14 years old, and it was because I'd answered "what" in the wrong tone of voice to my mom. And it just, like, there was one rule you never broke in the household was any level of disrespect to my mom. And he blew up. And I think he had been drinking at that point. But it wasn't like something that we saw as a problem. I mean, my dad was a hero to all of us. And he was a guy who had absolute standards on right and wrong and owning your problems and facing the music when you had to. He drank, I think, what was pretty standard in the day, and it never seemed to manifest itself in any big problems at home.
Did he ever come home with evidence of a fight and that you noticed as a kid?
So yeah, you'd hear stories. So if you you do what, as a kid, you do what most kids do, which is you hang out near where the adults are talking and you listen. My dad would be talking to him about my cousin Vince and the fact that they ended up in a fight in some bar somewhere. And my dad, and I've never been like this, but my dad, I think, enjoyed fighting. And he enjoyed fighting when he had a reason to. He was not a guy who would pick a fight, and he was not a bully. But he was a guy who, if you were bad to a white person, he would stand up immediately and, in his manner, take care of business. And it wasn't like he was a guy I would consider violent. He was just a person who had standards and sometimes would impose those standards on people he felt like weren't meeting them. I struggle with this a little bit because I don't want to make it sound like he was a violent guy. He was like the emotional arm of the family. He was as warm and sweet as anyone I knew. He just did not suffer fools. And so he made us all, and all the kids were kind of like that too. I think maybe that's part of the reason that I augured into journalism is I didn't like bullies. And I felt like someone needs to stand up for the little guy.
Did he ever take you to the bar with him?
So this is one of my great regrets. I think about this, you know, all the time. Because, you know, it would have been really great to have a beer with him. I'd never got a chance to because I was 21 when he died. I'd just been 21 for a little while. He already had cancer at that point. He was really sick and he wasn't drinking or hanging out in the bar. And so a couple years after he died of cancer when he was the same age I am right now. And the bar he hung out in, The Ranch, which is no longer there in Modesto, California, I wanted to go down there and just see what it was like. And I go down to The Ranch and I open up the door and it's absolutely exactly what I had expected. You know, it was dingy and dark. And I sat down at the bar and I ordered a beer. And the bartender came over and we chatted a little bit. And there's a few people at the bar, probably maybe 20 people in the room. And then I looked over to the side and I saw a bar stool that had been roped off. And I asked, I said, "What's that all about?" And they said, it was for Jack Lewis. And I said, "Really?" And they said, "Yeah, he was a guy who hung out in here. He was really well-liked. He always stuck up for people." And I said, "I was his son. I told them, I said, I'm his son. And they stopped and said, people started coming over. He spread the word in the bar, and they started coming over to tell me about the things that my dad had done for them. So part of what made him a really good man made him a lousy businessman. And he had this car lot where people, oh, I mean, they were cheap cars. This was a used car lot in Modesto, California. So we're talking about $500, $1,000 cars. And he never collected, like, people couldn't make payments on them, right? And he didn't want to take anyone's car away. And so we had all this, you know, junk sitting around the house, riding lawnmowers that only worked in reverse, you know, crazy stuff like this. We had this whole collection of things that people would give him in lieu of payment because he didn't want to take their car back from, because he knew that they needed it to get to work. And so it was this long series of stories. One woman who was there with her sister, and she just talked about how much, she didn't get into any specifics, how much she depended on my dad for straightening out one of her sons. And I don't know, it could have been somebody, because we would have from time to time, I mean, mind you, we grew up pretty poor, but every now and then, you know, I would be cleared out of my room and we would create space for somebody who didn't have a place to go, maybe got evicted or something like that. And so you'd have people living in the house. And that happened from time to time. And I suspect it might have been one of those circumstances. But she went into a fairly long story about him giving her and her family a place to stay when they got forced out of a house. And I went on for 2 hours, 3 hours in the bar that afternoon. And it was amazing. I mean, it was a window into him that I had not... I guess I'd suspected it existed, but I had never actually peered through it. And it was when I actually felt like I got to know him a little bit as an adult.
Yeah. And it makes me think about the way that bars can be seen as a social ill in some ways, right? Because alcohol is in a lot of ways a problem in this country. But at the same time, bars have this salutary, they're the social glue in this very particular low-key way that holds community together in a lot of ways.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. And I'm the first person to admit the social ill associated with. I mean, you know, I fully recognize as a bar owner about the problems that alcohol brings. I mean, I see it all the time. And so I'm not minimizing that. But I will say that you see more people in friendly conversations in a place like this or in another good bar in town, let's just say Targi's up on the hill, you see them more frequently interacting than you do really in coffee shops where people sort of, they go in and isolate. And I think that there's something about being in an environment where you can be shoulder to shoulder with another person. And even if you hear, and especially in a bar like we have here, just given its shape, you inadvertently get pulled into other people's conversations, and that's the way maybe you make a friend, or at the very least, that's the way you feel a little bit more welcome in a city that sometimes doesn't feel like that. And then you create some sort of tiny temporary bond that maybe can build over time into a better one. I think that they are glue. I mean, I think they're a load-bearing pillar in a good town. I think that you get to know a neighborhood through its people, and you get to know its people through where they hang out, and that's how you learn about your community, at least at a neighborhood level, and sometimes that's how you learn about yourself.